You are listening to a message from The Exchange in Pearl, Mississippi. To find out more about The Exchange, go to www.theexchange.cc.
We do say Happy Mother's Day and welcome into our gathering today. We're honored that you would make, as a part of your Mother's Day celebration, a gathering with our spiritual family, whether that's here in the room or as a part of our online gathering or even people gathered with us in our overflow spaces today. If you're new to our family or maybe you joined us today for family dedication or baptism, man, the mission, the heartbeat of our house for 8.5 years has been that we would see people just like you, just like me, exchange our old life for new life that only comes through Jesus and then live out our purpose. And so today we're celebrating that and watching that happen on so many different levels. But welcome in to the gathering today. Today we're kicking off a brand new series called When God Doesn't Make Sense. When God Doesn't Make Sense. I wonder how many of you here in this space would raise your hand, be willing to admit, or even those of you online, throw up kind of a little hand up emoji in the comments section. How many of you would be willing to admit that there's been a moment, just a moment, a season, an experience at some point in your life that you've lived where it felt like, it seemed like God didn't make sense? Anybody willing to admit that? Awesome, cool, okay. A lot of you, okay, some of you didn't raise your hand. You kind of got it figured out. You're a little more holy than us, and so I don't really have a message for you today, so but thanks for being here. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. I think for all of us, if we were honest, there's probably been a moment in life, an experience where something happened, it went down, life broke, and it seemed like God didn't make sense. You know, in those moments, our natural human reaction is it's so easy to doubt God in those moments. It's so easy to lose faith, to question our faith. Or maybe for some of you, you might be so honest, maybe not to admit out loud, but internally in that moment, whenever that happened, that season of your life, for you, you even question, God, are you even real? Like, can I even really believe in you? Do you even exist? And what I want us to see over the next few weeks is that so often in those moments where it seems like that perhaps God doesn't make sense and we lean in towards this idea of maybe even rejecting God, what's really happening in those moments is it's not that we are rejecting the true God, but so often we are rejecting a distorted view of God. You see, often in those moments when it seems that God doesn't make sense, it's not that God changed his character or who he is, but it's simply that you and I have bought into a distorted view of the character of God, and oftentimes that is the problem. So today we're going to talk about when God doesn't make sense. As we get started today, I know today's kind of been serious on some different levels, but I thought it'd be good to like have a little bit of fun. Can we have a little bit of fun in church? Anybody okay with that? Some of you are like, I don't know. Can I say yes? Okay, like it's okay. All right, we can smile. We can laugh a little bit in church. You know, a lot of times people come up to me and they say, well, hey, man, we see pictures of the exchange, or we came to the exchange on a Sunday, and is it just for young people? Like, there's a whole lot of young people there, okay? Like, is it just for people in their 20s and 30s? And my response is always like, yeah, we do have a lot of people from kind of that demographic, that age range, but man, we're a house for all people. Like, we've got people of all generations. We love all people, shapes, sizes, colors, ages, all of that. And yeah, we got a kind of a younger staff, and so a lot of our thing is for younger people, but at the same time, we believe all people mattered. So here's what I'm going to do, okay, for some of my friends today. All right, I see you, some of my friends. For some of my friends of a more, more seasoned generation, okay, can I say that? Did I do that well? All right, was that PC for you? For my seasoned generation friends, I'm going to take you back for a minute, okay? I'm just letting you know I see you, but here's what I'm telling you, okay? If I throw something out to you, or if I throw you a bone and you don't take it here in just a second, all right, don't get mad at me next time I don't think about you, okay? So I'm just saying, like, we're going to participate here together. This is going to be fun. I'm going to take you back for a minute, and here's what I'm going to do is I want to kind of throw out some TV shows of the past, if you will, okay? And don't act like you don't watch TV, okay? You do, all right? I want to throw you some TV shows of the past, and I want you to give me a little love, raise your hand, whoop, whoop, all right, little shout out. If you remember and you watch this show, okay? 9:30 struggled with this because they were like, I've heard of that. I want to know if you really watched it. Like when you came home from school or Thursday nights at 7 o'clock, did the family watch this, okay? How many of you remember Happy Days? Anybody, any Happy Days fans in the room? Okay, awesome. A lot of Happy Days fans. How about Laverne and Shirley? Anybody Laverne and Shirley? Cool. A lot of you, okay? How many of you was MASH? Anybody remember MASH and MASH fans? Cool. Some of you, like, all you did was watch TV growing up, apparently, okay? Any Dallas fans? Not Cowboys. I'm talking about the show. know. Okay, any Dallas fans in the room? Some of you are like, yeah, now we're talking now, okay? I love Lucy. I love, oh man, Lucille Ball. Like that's, you can't go wrong with Lucy. Gilligan's Island, everybody, the skipper, awesome. There we go, okay. Or what about this? What about Little House on the Prairie? Okay, a lot of fellas with their hands raised on that one. Laura Ingalls jerked a lot of tears out of us boys, okay? Little House on the Prairie. Now listen, if you were on TikTok this week, you have no idea anything I just talked about. Like you don't know anything. None of that just registered if you're living in a world of TikTok, that generation, okay? But here's what I want you to know. If you were going to watch these shows, listen, and I'm about to blow some people's mind in just a second, all my YouTubers. If you were going to watch any of those shows, if you were tuning in for Dallas or Gilligan's Island, listen, watch this. You had to actually be sitting on the couch in the living room at the time that the show came on TV. Is anybody with me? Do you know what I'm talking about? All right. Has anybody lived that rough life before? Okay. And some of my younger generation go, I don't understand. Okay. Listen, let me break it down for you. Like if your show came on Friday night at 7 o'clock, you had to be sitting on the couch Friday night at 7 o'clock, not in your car. You can't stream it on your phone, okay? And watch this. It was a rough life, okay? If you weren't sitting on the couch Friday night at 7 o'clock and you missed it, you missed it. Like, it was never coming back again. Like, you couldn't YouTube it. There was no Hulu-ing that thing. It was gone. Like, never to be seen again. And listen, it got worse. It got so much worse. You had to watch the commercials. Anybody with me? Any commercial watchers in the house? Like you, the whole, there was no fast forwarding. There was no DVR. We didn't know what that stood for, okay? Like you had to watch all of that, and that was a rough life. Now, here's the deal. Times have changed, okay? And a lot of us are really grateful for that. We're thankful that our world has kind of evolved. But if you remember that, you know what I'm talking about, okay? Now, here's the reality. How many of you binge watched a show on some point this week? Like you binge watched this, okay? Some of you, oh, I don't think I can raise my hand for that. Yes, you can. Okay, God sees that liar, all right? But how many of you did? Like you took off of work and you binge watched your show and you can watch your favorite show in 5 episodes and you can watch it 20 times if you want to because of where we are today. You know, the reality is a lot of people call today's generation, we call it an on-demand generation. You heard that before? We want it on demand. Everything on demand, give it to me now. Amazon can't deliver fast enough, okay? It's everything is on demand. And here's what I think this translates to our conversation today. I believe that there are many people who want an on-demand God. We want an on-demand God. Well, God, I prayed about it, and God didn't do it. Therefore, God, what's wrong with you? God, I asked for it, but you didn't come through when I wanted, how I wanted. What are you doing? God, I'm praying and you're not answering how I want. God, watch this. This doesn't make sense. You see, on-demand God is great until on-demand God doesn't do what you ask him to do on demand. And maybe your story sounds something like this. Maybe you're a teenager here in the room in our online gathering. You were praying for mom and dad's marriage to hang on and to work out. And it didn't. And you're going, God, where are you in that? That doesn't make sense, God. That doesn't make sense. Or maybe for some of you, like you're trying to walk in righteousness and in generosity and bless others and help other people. But yet you find yourself then financially struggling. You're like, God, come on. Like, what's up with that? This doesn't make sense. Or maybe together with your life group, your spiritual community, you prayed for somebody who was sick, that they would be healed and they would come to know Jesus, but then they didn't. And your response is like, well, where are you in that, God? Like that just doesn't make sense. Or maybe how about this on Mother's Day? For some of you, you're happily married and man, you're just praying that God would give you a kid. And you're going, God, everybody else who doesn't even want to get pregnant, they get pregnant. But then the one thing that we long for, like, God, we haven't seen you do that. God, where are you? This just doesn't make sense. And so often when God doesn't do what we think he should do, but we know that he could, so many people get frustrated and they begin to throw out ideas. Well, maybe God must either not be real, maybe he isn't powerful, maybe he isn't good, or maybe he just doesn't care. Where is my on-demand God? And the answer today, just kind of fast forward to the end, is on-demand God doesn't exist. Right? On-demand God doesn't exist. See, we have to make sure that you and I today, as we kind of start this series of conversations, we understand where we fall in the whole narrative, like the big picture, the grander story of God, creation, eternity. All right, so I'm going to make it really, really simple. And here's the first truth that you can write down today is that God doesn't exist to serve us, but we exist to serve him. I'm going to say that again for somebody at home today. God doesn't exist to serve us, but you and I, we were created in his image, image bearers of him. We were created and we exist to serve him. Now, don't get me wrong. He may answer prayers. He does. He will. He can. But his highest calling isn't to do what we think he should do. God does not exist to serve us, but we exist to serve him. And we have to recognize as we read this book, this narrative of Scripture, we are not the main character of the Bible. God is. It's his story. God's not our celestial sugar daddy who gives us what we want. He's not our cosmic genie in the sky that if you just like pray the right prayer and rub them the right way at the right time at church, wearing the right thing on the right Sunday when you lived righteously the week before, and then he answers. He's not like this cosmic Coke machine where, God, we tithed on Sunday and we prayed before all our meals this week and read my Bible three times. Where are you? I'm about to pray. You hear me? You see, and we get all of this wrong in this thought that God's this on-demand God, but what we miss is that God is the creator and we're the created. God is the potter and we are the clay. Scripture says that he's Lord of all, King of all, sovereign over all, and we exist to serve him. Some of you might say, well, if that's the case then what's God's role? Like who is he in all of this? What is he doing in all of this? And I'm so glad that you asked because I want to kind of unpack that. You see, my kind of goal in the whole series over the next few weeks is to really help us begin to understand and get to know God better by recognizing who he's not. Because when we understand who he's not, we begin to understand more deeply who he really is. And for so many people today, perhaps even some of you listening, God doesn't make sense. But the reality is you're simply living with a distorted view of the true character of who God really is. So if God isn't on-demand God, if he's not Netflix God, who is he? Here's what I want to do. I want to give you just three principles, okay, three truths from God's word about who he is, about God's true character and nature. And so the first truth for all my note takers is this: God's heart is always loving. All right, write that down. Type that in your note section. God's heart is always loving. Let me talk to some of my parents. I know we got a lot of parents in the room. We celebrated parents a while ago. Okay, I know two things about all my parents. No matter how old your kids are, where you are in life, I know two things about you. I'm a parent myself. I understand this. The first part is there's never a moment where you don't love your child. Okay, there's never a moment where you don't. Listen, you may not like them. You may want to trade them in. You may wonder, how in the world did they get your last name? Because they ain't listened to nothing you said the last 18 years of their life. Are you with me, okay? All right? But you always love them, all right? There's never a moment where you don't love them from that mama heart, okay? From that daddy pride. You love them, okay? Second thing I know about you as parents is that there are times where you do not do what your kids want you to do, even though you have the power to do it. Am I right? Okay? You always love them, but there are times where you do not do what they want you to do, even though you have the power to do it. Let me give you a couple of examples, all right? You tell them, hey, pack your lunch. Don't forget your lunch. Don't forget your lunch. Don't forget your lunch, all right? And for the third day in a row, they forget their lunch. Hey, can you bring me lunch? No, not today. I can't. Because for three days, we've been doing this, all right? And it's not that I don't love you. It's not that I can't, all right? It's simply I'm trying to do something in you. We're trying to plant some seeds in you, all right? Or how about this? Hey, do your homework. Do your homework. Tell them, get home from school. Do your homework. For supper, do your homework. Right when you get done eating, do your homework, okay? And then they come to you at 10 o'clock. Hey, mom and dad, could you help with my homework? No. Like, I can't because I've been telling you to do your homework all day. So this time it's on you. It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't want to. But sometimes we have to realize that before I do something for you, I need to do something in you. It's not that I don't love you, But it's not. But it's that I'm not going to do everything you ask me to do, how and when you want me to do it. And we'll begin to understand the fatherhood of God is that God doesn't always do exactly what we want. Even if we believe that he could, we know that he could, and it doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. In fact, he's always loving. His always has our best interest at heart. Look at what Paul would say. Paul knew the love of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Look at this verse. It says, who shall separate us from what? From the love of Christ. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? What's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Now, let me kind of leave that verse up there. Let me kind of update that list for just a second, because chances are a lot of you will not like be naked this week with a sword in your face, okay? If you are, that's a whole nother conversation. All right, we can't go there today. But listen, I want to update that for a second. What shall separate you from the love of Christ? That's what Paul asked. Who's going to separate you? Who's going to take you apart from God's great love for you? Shall financial trouble? Shall relationship breakdown? What about unemployment or cancer? Shall depression, shall divorce separate you from the great love of God that's for you? And Paul answers it with our answer. Look at verse 37. Paul says, no. No, actually, in all these things, in all these things, we can be more than conquerors. How? Through him who did what? Who loved us. And Paul goes on. He's like, hey, let me just kind of help you really wrap your mind around it. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else. Everything's incorporated in that. Anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the what? From the love of God, which comes how? Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Hear me, church. God's heart, his character, his nature, who he is, his heart is always loving. And here's what's so important. We need to understand that God doesn't prove his love for us when he answers our prayers. God proved his love for us when he sent his son. God doesn't prove his love for you when he carries out your cosmic Coke machine, pray the right prayer, and give you what you want. God proved his love for you and his love for me in that while we were still sinners, God gave, God loved, Christ died for you and for me. That was the demonstration of God's love. His character, his heart is always loving. So hear me today. There's never a time that he doesn't love you. But he will not always do what you think he should do. So what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Nothing could separate us from the love of Christ. Okay, his heart is always loving. Second thought, write this one down. It's good. His ways are always higher. His ways are always higher. His actions, his plans, okay? I've learned over the last 8.5 years, kind of part of the role of being a pastor is that, man, people encounter me in different moments, whether it's the grocery store, ball field, okay, eating at a restaurant, and people sometimes just look at me as if I have all the answers, which I understand, and they'll simply say, like, preacher, can you just tell me, like, why did this happen? Why did this go down? Why did God allow this to happen? And I'll just be honest with you. There's so many moments where, like, I've got no answer. And I'm going to be real with you. That's part of my personality. Like, I'm not going to make something up or, you know, pull a rabbit out of the hat. And it would be really dangerous for me to try to play God or try to tell the mind of God when I don't have his mind. There's so many things that they're just above my pay grade, and that's where I just rely into my faith in God that it's beyond my wisdom. It's beyond my understanding. It's just who he is. Like a child is born handicapped. Why? I don't know all the answers. Or, you know, a really good person, a really godly person is struck down, taken early in life. The drunk driver lives and the godly person dies. Why? I don't know. I don't know all of those answers. Or, you know, a natural disaster, we've seen that happen, or acts of terrorism that seem to come way too frequently. Like, why them? Why was it against them? Why did it take them and not these people? Like, they may have deserved it, but they, why? I don't know. I don't fully understand. There's so many things that I wouldn't even attempt to describe. But what I can do, what we can do, is we can embrace the hope of where God speaks truth, like Isaiah 55. Look at this on the screen. Isaiah 55, verse 8. God says, God's words, Yahweh, for my thoughts, they're not your thoughts. And neither are your ways my ways. No joke, God. Yeah, that's what the Lord says. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I'm just telling you today, I don't know where you are, but for me, all right, as a dad, as a husband, as a man, I take comfort to recognize that God is so much wiser than I am. Like he's already in tomorrow. Time does not slow him down. It does not define him. He's a sovereign, good God working in all things. And sometimes that means that he works in things that I don't really like, okay, to conform me into the image of his son. But his ways, his knowledge, his power, it goes beyond this little peon brain. It's beyond my understanding. And the good news is I don't have to understand everything to trust his heart, to trust his character. I don't have to have all of the answers. That's where faith comes into this relationship journey that we're walking on. And what I've found, and maybe you have too if you live long enough, that oftentimes there are those things that you walk through, those things that you experience when life breaks, when the relationship shuts down, and you can, in the moment, you don't get it. But oftentimes you can look back years later and you can go, God, wow, now I see. You were there the whole time, weren't you? Yeah, I was. Because his ways are always higher. You know, last week, if you were here with us, you heard the incredible news, and we shared it earlier, the incredible news that God has answered years and years of prayers and waiting to allow us to expand our walls, that we've bought a building, and God has plans for what's next. I mean, we're so excited and so expectant about the faith journey that is to come, that our God is good and he's sovereign. He's got good plans. And man, he has hope for us in the coming days as we reach even more people. And I just tell you, if you didn't hear earlier, if you miss like the crazy, insane, like can't even imagine it God story that we shared last week that got us to this point, I would like highly, highly encourage you to go on our website and you can kind of watch that 20-minute video that shares the amazing story that's leading us into what's next. But, you know, if you saw that story, you're here last week or you were in our online gathering, in that 20-minute video, really it just captured just some nuggets, just a few small moments of the last many, many years of praying and waiting and trusting and watching doors close and watching God intervene and watching doors close and watching miracles happen. And like, there's no way we could really share with you all of the journey, okay? But here's what I'm telling you, like the behind the curtains of what you saw last week is this. There were so many moments over the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years as we trusted God, and we're like, God, you're increasing our family, you're multiplying. Surely this is next. There's so many moments where, watch this, we leaned into our strength and we leaned into our wisdom and we had some good plans. We're like, well, God, what if you worked this thing out? What if you provided this opportunity? Or you made this building happen, or you dropped this amount of money? There were so many moments where we made it about what we could do. But what I'm telling you is that it was God's plans, God's purposes, God's timing that delivered what's next. And I love how Pastor Josh said it last week on the video. He said, and the plan that we revealed and we stole the story we told you last week, nobody saw that plan. No one. Why? Because his ways are higher. They're better. Like so much better. And what I'm saying to some of you today is that you're in something, you're about to maybe even go through something that you don't even know is coming. And listen to me, you're going to hate it. You're going to hate it. You're going to, God, I don't understand. This doesn't make sense. But what I'm trying to give you and breathe into you today is hope to say that, like, I know you don't get it. I know we don't get it, but his ways are higher. His thoughts are things we can't think. Like some of you ladies, your boyfriend is going to dump you. He's going to ghost you. He's going to walk out. Listen to me. And some of you are going to go, oh, my world's over. What am I going to do next? Like, I thought he was the one. And what you don't know is that he was a second-class boyfriend, and God's got his man coming for you if you would just wait on him and trust that his ways are higher. Some of you are going to try to buy a house. Is the housing market crazy? Anybody try to do that recently? Okay, listen, and you're going to look for a house, and you're going to put in an offer, and you're not going to get it because there's 29 other offers, and they pay $20,000 more than listing price because that's where we live in right now, okay? And you're going to go, man, God, I thought that was the one. I really wanted, had the porch and the living room and the bed, and God, I really, really wanted that. I don't understand. Why didn't you do that? And listen, what you may not know is that God's got another house, and you're going to look back in a couple of years, and you go, God, you had a way better deal. And you were in on that the whole time, weren't you? Yep, my ways are always high. Listen to me. It's not that God's ways always provide the upgrade. Sometimes we mistake that. Sometimes God's ways, it just provides what's not expected. Like some of you had the first child, and the first child was healthy. And then you had the second child, and the second child wasn't. And you didn't understand why. But now, 5, 7, 12 years later, you look back, and you go, man, we can't imagine our family, our life, without the blessing of that second child, because God was doing something in us, and he's blessed our family and enriched our lives in a way that we never could have imagined. Man, his ways, God, your ways are higher. They just are. Or the tragic loss or death is going to come. And listen to me, you wouldn't wish that on anybody. And you still think it's untimely. You still think it was unfair. You still don't fully understand. But I believe that if you trust him and walk with him, that there'll come a day where you'll be able to look back into a really painful, difficult, hard moment and go, God, you are doing something bigger. Your plans were bigger. Your ways are higher. You are producing something eternal in me, in our family, in those around us, because your ways and your thoughts are higher. Church, hear me, God doesn't always do what we want him to do, how and when we want him to do it. Why? Because God doesn't exist to serve us, but we exist to serve him. And I believe that as we serve him, as we truly serve, as we give him ourselves, our whole hearts, our mind, soul, and strength, that we will realize that, man, his heart's always loving, and his ways are always higher, they're always greater. There's one last truth that I want us to register in today. This may be my favorite of the whole day. It's that God's presence is always enough. Write that down. God's presence is always enough. There's a lot of you, man, church people here in this room or in our gathering space today or our online space, and you're going like, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. Some of you, maybe you're kind of new. Like, you're not quite there yet. You're figuring out this relationship with Jesus, or maybe you're kind of new to faith in him. You're still figuring out what does it mean to really grow as a disciple. Can I lean in and just give you a promise today? Can I tell you something, okay? This is maybe for some of my people who've been following Jesus for a long time. Listen, when you leave that place of what we could call complacent Christianity, because let me just be real, like, there's a lot of people, that's all they do. Like, that's just where they live. Check the box on Sunday, pray before our meal, and, like, we'll call it me and God, okay? Listen, I'm saying, like, when you leave that and, like, you really lean into his character, to who he is, like, you hunger for his word, you communicate with him in prayer, when worship means something, when you realize, man, I serve because this life's bigger than me, I'm serving God's purpose. Listen, when that happens, I believe you can get to a place after maybe months or years of maturity and growing in him, watch this, where you can get to a place where you know his character. And you can say, he's my rock. He's my fortress. Man, he's my peace. When nothing else is peaceful, he's my peace. And you'll be able to get to that place, hear me, where you can say, you know what? It doesn't matter what happens to me in this world. And something's going to happen. It doesn't matter what happens. Why? Because he's with me. He's with me. And his presence with me is enough. It's always enough. Like every time. When the guy leaves, God's still with me. When the work thing doesn't work out, and he's there. He's still with me, always. When I get the health report and I don't even know what's going to be 2 months from now, what the doctor's going to, no, he's there. He's with me. See, this is the posture of a guy in the Old Testament. You probably heard of him if you've heard the Bible at all. It's a guy named King David, okay? And David lived with so much of this posture. He often talked about in his life what it looked like when God didn't make sense. Like, he was a straight shooter. That's just who he was. And before you go like, well, hold on, he was a king. He probably had it easy. No. You should read his life. Like, he cried out to God more than any, like, five of us put together. He cried out because he walked through some really real things. And he cried out, God, why are you allowing this in my life? Just read Psalms. God, why are you allowing the enemy all right, to seemingly succeed over me. God, I'm trying to do what you want me to do. God, this isn't fair. God, this doesn't make sense. You see, David walked through some of the most darkest valleys, deeper valleys than any of us, some of us will ever experience. Yet he, watch this, he grew to know the faithfulness of God. How does that happen? Here's how. Here's what David said, a really well-known psalm. You probably quoted the chapter before. Look at verse 4. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though, David said, I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why can you say that, David? For you are, what does it say? You're with me. You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though I walk through, David says, even though I walk through the place where there may be no heartbeat, even though I'm in that place where there's no physical nourishment, even though I'm in that place, it's the deepest, darkest point of my life, David says, I don't have to be afraid. What? How, David? Because you're here. You're with me. And your presence, God, your presence is always, it's always, always enough. I'll never forget on January 2011, my wife Heather and I were in our mid-20s. We had just gotten married. We were like 3 years into marriage. And I was in an opportunity of serving a church, doing ministry, and God began to like awaken and call us into this new calling of planting and starting a brand new church, something we never, ever thought we would do with our lives. And at that time, we didn't know where, we didn't know how, we didn't know how we were going to pay for it, none of that. It was just like, God, you're saying, and so we're just trying to be obedient. And we shared that. And in January 2011, our church that we were part of sent us to what's called a church planter assessment. And so for 2 days, we went to Atlanta, Georgia, and we went to this church, and there was a team of people, like 10 people, pastors, counselors, you know, business leaders, who like they just examined our lives, like intense, deep interviews about our marriage, our leadership experience, like our calling, our visions, our strengths, our weaknesses, what this church was going to potentially look like. And they were basically testing, helping to know our readiness as a 20-something year old couple to launch and start our brand new church. Needless to say, it was a very intimidating 2 days, okay? And I'll never forget the end of the first day, we kind of all sit together, and there's like 8 or 9 couples who are also sort of candidates with us. And the guy who was leading the assessment, he stood up in front of us while we're eating dinner, and he says, hey guys, I'm so excited you're here. It's been a great day. We'll look forward to tomorrow. But I just want you to know, in the end of tomorrow, like there'll be kind of a report that's presented to you, and some of you will not necessarily pass. Some of you will not necessarily be deemed ready to take this big, huge next step. And Heather and I looked around at the couples in the room, and like we were the youngest couple there. We were the probably least experienced couple there. Some guys had like, they'd already launched their church. Like they were already doing their thing. And we're like, we don't even know where like this is going to happen. And I will never forget going to our hotel room that night in Atlanta, Georgia. Just overwhelmed. It'd been a rough day already, just spiritually exhausting. And we were convinced in that moment, we're like, man, if there's somebody who's not going to pass, like we got to be one of those. We're so young, we're so inexperienced, we're brand new to this journey. And I always remember sitting on the bed in the hotel room that night as a young couple, long way away from family at that moment, just, man, crying out to God together, literally. And we prayed, and man, just our heart was, God, how did you bring us this far for us to fail, to not even make it? God, we were trying to follow you. We thought we said yes to what was right, and now here we are. We heard that. And like, you know that's one of us. And I'm just telling you that as we sat there together, man, crying, praying, we opened up our Bibles, and we were reading some scripture that had kind of been spoken and given to us. I don't know how to describe it to you, other than to say that the very real presence of a living sovereign God came into that hotel room over a 20-something year old couple. And he didn't knock at the door. He didn't like sit on the bed next to us or speak audible words. But I'm just telling you that his presence was real and it was there and we knew it. And his presence through the power of his spirit, man, it turned our tears into hope, and it turned our anxiousness into peace, We slept that night and we walked into the second day of that assessment, man, just with a renewed sense of purpose and peace and perspective and joy. Why? Because he was with us and his presence is always enough. It's always enough. And what I'm saying to you today is that sometimes we have to find ourselves in the dark so that we will seek the light. And sometimes we get to know the presence and the faithfulness of God so much better in the valley than we do on the mountaintop. And so often before we realize, or when we realize that God is all that we have, that's when we realize fully that God is actually, he's all that we need. And so in those moments where you begin to ask, God, where are you? God, I'm praying, but you're not answering how I'm praying. God, this doesn't make sense. Would you remember today that we don't or God doesn't exist to serve us, but that we exist to serve him? And don't forget this. God is way too powerful. He's way too wise. He's way too sovereign and good and graceful. And he's way too good to be a puppet to men. He sits sovereign as creator of the universe, and he's sustaining and holding it all together right now. And he knows end from beginning. And when something doesn't seem to make sense in your life, would you lean in to trust that his ways are higher and his heart is loving and his presence is enough? And maybe he's just trying to do something, not for you, but he's doing something in you. And he's conforming you and shaping you into the image of his son that he created you in. And when it seems in those moments that God doesn't make sense and you want to ask the question, God, why didn't you, when I know that you could have? Remember, on-demand God doesn't exist. And ultimately, when you believe that, you are rejecting not a true view of the true God, but you're rejecting a distorted view of who you have created God to be. Because the true character of his nature is that his heart is always loving. It's who he is. His ways, his plans, they're always higher. And his presence that is with us right here in this room, wherever you are, his presence is always, it's always, it's always enough.
Thanks for listening to this message from The Exchange. If you would like to talk to someone about your faith journey, you can contact us through our website, www.theexchange.cc, or by calling or texting 601-397-6111. Now let's go be the church.